Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, March 5th, 2025, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's Word. And therefore, open the Word of God not to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. That one's in the can. 2 Corinthians chapter 7. 2 Corinthians 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that all we have and all we are is because of who and what you are. And we thank you, sir, for the privilege we have this evening of fellowshipping in your word, that we might grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ, and fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose you have for each one of our lives. We ask this evening that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of your word to the nourishment and to the blessing of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Well, we have right now in the city a couple of different heaven special classes going on at the Las Ventanas Senior Living Center and the West Sahara Senior Living Center. Rich Blair is the one conducting the heaven special at Las Ventanas Senior Living Center, and last week he had an update. He says, this was our 11th lesson in the series. We began by reading the purple booklet, and of course you know the purple booklet. And we read it aloud while the core group of six attendees followed along in their own booklet. After an opening prayer in this lesson, Pastor Olson taught from several passages in 2 Corinthians. And he described the Apostle Paul's momentary light affliction and how it was nothing. And by the way, when Paul calls that momentary light affliction, none of you, including me, have had suffering like the Apostle Paul had. And he, from the divine viewpoint, called it momentary light affliction. He described the Apostle Paul's momentary light affliction and how it was nothing, nothing compared to the eternal glory and greater grace blessings in heaven. Paul also provides a unique definition of physical death. What is mortal is swallowed up by life. The pastor explained that when we depart this temporal death, physical death, when we leave our physical body at physical death or the rapture, whichever comes first, this should be viewed as being swallowed up by eternal life. After the closing prayer, we discussed sharing prayer requests, and when I mentioned a member of Upland Bible Church who was experiencing some spiritual hurdles. The group insisted on his name, or the name, so that they can pray for this person. To God be the glory as he continues to bless the ministry at Las Ventanas. Your prayers are greatly appreciated. Rich Blair. And then the update on the West Sahara Senior Living Center. Well, this is last week. Last week, he says, today we started the Heaven Series, the MP3 class at the West Sahara Senior Living Center. We had three people attend. He gives their names. And I asked him tonight, how did it go today? And he said, well, those three didn't come back, but four different ones came today. So if you would quit chasing them all away, Jerry, you know. The three from last week weren't there today, and four new ones were there today. But anyway, we'll take the three that came last week. They all three enjoyed the class, but they said, we're sure as hell not coming back, I tell you. Please continue to pray that God will keep this door open. Thank you, Jerry Cahoon. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. Before we get into this, you should understand this. You should understand that the chapter divisions are not a part of the original autograph. You understand that, don't you? You didn't understand that? Well, they are not. Unfortunately, chapter 6 should have continued on for one more verse. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 should be 2 Corinthians 6, verse 19. It's not, but it should be. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1 is actually concluding the section on the doctrine of separation. Chapter 7 should have started with verse 2. However, it is what it is. So the conclusion to the section on separation is now given in 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1. 2 Corinthians 7, verse 1. We always start with the King James, the thundering diction of the King James. Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved. We have the post-positive conjunction un, and right there, that tells you this shouldn't start a new chapter. We haven't completed the last chapter because we have the post-positive conjunction un, for God's sake. Plus the present active participle of echo, plus the accusative plural of houtos, with the accusative plural of epangalia, with the definite article, plus the vocative plural of agapetos. All right. Post-positive conjunction, un. O-U-N. Un. Post-positive conjunction, it is an inferential conjunction. And the inferential use of un can be translated therefore, or so, or consequently, or then. We're going to translate it therefore. The inferential conjunction un tells us that 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 should really be 2 Corinthians 6 verse 19. Because it is drawing a conclusion from the promises quoted in 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16 to 18. 2 Corinthians 6b says, just as God said, just as God said, 2 Corinthians 6, 16, and then he quotes three quotations. Quotation number one, from Leviticus 26, 12. I will dwell in them and walk among them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And then quotation number 2, Isaiah 52:11. Because of this, 3 commands, come away from among them, and command number 2, be separate, says the Lord, and command number 3, and do not touch what is unclean. And I, the Lord, will asdekomai, a very unique and special word, very rarely used, asdekomai. E-I-S-D-E-C-H-O-M-A-I. Asdekomai. This word you might have something like, and I, the Lord, will welcome you. That is so weak. And I told you this word has a very powerful meaning. It means to take you up in my arms and embrace you. Take you up. This is the Lord taking you up in his arms and embracing you. How cool is that? How fantastic is that? That's way better than welcome you. That is so weak. But if all you do is teach from the English translations, all you're going to teach is weakness, not the truth of the Word of God. This is so much better. Take you up in my arms and embrace you. That's asdekomai. And then quotation number 3, verse 18, 1 Chronicles 17:13, and I will be a father to you, and you will be sons and daughters to me, says the Lord Almighty, the omnipotent God. So that's what un is doing. The inferential conjunction un tells us that 2 Corinthians 7:1 should really be 2 Corinthians 6:19 because it's drawing a conclusion from those 3 promises quoted in 2 Corinthians 6:16 to 18. 3 promises from the Old Testament scriptures. Then we have the verb echo. E-C-H, long O, echo. And echo is the verb that means to have and to hold, to have and to hold, or to possess. The present tense, therefore, we have therefore, conclusion, therefore, having. And then the near demonstrative pronoun, houtos, followed by ep. Angalia, these epangalia, and epangalia, that's the promises. That's the promises that Paul gave in chapter 6, verses 16 to 18. These epangalia, these promises that he gave at the end of chapter 6. So a couple of things on epangelia. First of all, epangelia literally means an announcement. It literally means an announcement. Two, in the God-breathed scriptures, it's used for divine promises. Divine promises. And the Word of God has thousands of promises given to us. Three, specifically, this is a reference to the promises that Paul quoted from the Old Testament in 2 Corinthians 6:16 to 18. Specifically, it's referring to Leviticus 26:12, Isaiah 52:11, 1 Chronicles 17:13. So specifically, this is a reference to those promises quoted from the Old Testament in 2 Corinthians 6, 16 to 18. For Paul is giving a conclusion. A conclusion from what he has been teaching in regard to the doctrine of separation. And he taught the doctrine of separation, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 14 to 18, which we studied in detail. So now Paul is giving a conclusion from what he has been teaching in regard to the doctrine of separation. And then we have a verbal adjective, agapetos. A-G-A-P, long E-T-O-S, agapetos. And agapetos is a verbal adjective, and it's in the vocative case. And the vocative case is the vocative of address. Paul is now addressing the royal family of God. The royal family of God, church age saints who are in union with Jesus Christ as a result of the baptism of the Spirit. So this is a very, very special and powerful verbal adjective. So a couple of things on agapetos. One, agapetos is oftentimes translated dear or beloved. But the key is point two. It's a special title for the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a special title for the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the beloved. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. And who's the human author of Ephesians? Paul, the Apostle Paul. Who's the human author of Corinthians? The Apostle Paul. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 5. He, and he is God the Father. He, God the Father, predestined us to adoption as adult sons through Jesus Christ to himself, according to the grace purpose of his will, God the Father's will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, God the Father's grace, by means of which grace he has pursued us, royal family of God, with grace. Where? In the Beloved, the title, a special title given to the Lord Jesus Christ, seated at the right hand of God the Father, and only church age saints are in the Beloved. Only the royal family of God are in the Beloved. You are in the Beloved. You are in union with Jesus Christ. So this is a special title given to the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is only for the royal family of God. You are in the Beloved. Because only in the church age is every church age believer entered into union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit. There was no baptism of the Spirit in prior to the church age. There won't be after the church age. It's only in this dispensation. You are so blessed. The Christians in the church age are so blessed, and they haven't got a clue as to how greatly blessed they are. But we are so blessed above and beyond. The blessings we have as royal family of God is absolutely phenomenal. But we are living in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. And God has given to us the most fantastic blessings because of that. And while in the Old Testament times, there were people who believed in Christ and had the imputed righteousness of God the Father, and they had justification by faith. They had the gift of eternal life. But we, as royal family of God, we have a double portion of righteousness. We not only have the imputed righteousness of the Father, but as a result of the baptism of the Spirit, we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. A double portion of righteousness. Not only do we have justification by faith and that, but we also have, not only do we have the gift of eternal life, but through the baptism of the Spirit, we're entered into union with Christ, and we share the eternal life of Jesus Christ. We have a double portion of God's righteousness, a double portion of eternal life. And what does that mean? To whom much is given, much is expected. And yet today, believers have no idea what that means. To whom much is given, much is expected. That is all a part of agapetos, the vocative of address. So point two, the Lord Jesus Christ has a very special title. He is the Beloved, Ephesians 1, 5, and 6. 3, we are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. We are in union with Christ through the baptism of the Holy Spirit at salvation. What a blessing. 4, now that we are in union with Christ, now we are beloved by God the Father. Now that we are in union with Christ, we are beloved by God the Father. Six, God the Father loves us with infinite personal love. Why? Because we are royal family of God in union with Jesus Christ, who is the Beloved. We're in union with the Beloved. God the Father loves us with infinite personal love because we are in union with the Beloved, Jesus Christ. And therefore, we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ. We not only have the imputed righteousness of the Father, we share the righteousness of Jesus Christ because we're in union with the Beloved, Jesus Christ. 6, and therefore, we are accepted in the Beloved, in union with Christ. Seven, now as royal family of God, we are the Beloved. Now as royal family of God, we are the Beloved. Eight, God the Father loves you with infinite virtue love. He loves you with infinite virtue love. Because you are in union with the Beloved, you are now the Beloved as well, as royal family. And what does that mean? 9, God has a very special plan for your life as royal family of God. God has a very special plan for your life. Now, most believers are dropping the ball on that. Most believers have no capacity to understand that. They're making bad decisions to live in Satan's cosmic system. They have no idea, no idea about the church age, no idea about the royal family of God, no idea about the baptism of the Spirit, no idea about the universal indwelling of the Spirit, which is absolutely essential because we're in the intensified stage of the angelic conflict. Because we're in that intensified stage of the angelic conflict, Satan's attack can't be on Christ. He's at the right hand of the Father. So the attack is on the body of Christ. It's on you and you and you and you and you and you. Every one of you. His attack is on you. And therefore, God has provided the universal indwelling of God the Holy Spirit as a base of operation for the filling of the Spirit. The divine power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age, which is a supernatural way of life. And can only be lived by supernatural power. The power of God the Holy Spirit and the power of the Word of God in your heart. God has a very special plan for the royal family of God. But most of the royal family of God today in America have no clue what that special plan for their life is. Corrected translation, therefore, having these promises, 2 Corinthians 6, verses 16 to 18, having the promises of Leviticus 26, 12, and Isaiah 52, 11, and 1 Chronicles 17, 13, therefore, having these promises, beloved, not only is Jesus Christ have the title, special title, beloved? You have that title because you are in union with the Beloved. Then we have, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness. Filthy, filthy, filthy. When I was a youngster, I mean, I was a little tyke. We had a lot of young kids in our neighborhood. Some of them were a few years old. I was about the youngest of all of the other ones. And they learned all these four-letter words. And I was around them, and I didn't even know what they meant. But they started using all these words, and I thought, well, there's different words I've never had before. And I came into the house, and there was Mom, and I walked up to her, and I said several of those words I just learned. She grabbed me by my ear, took me into the bathroom. We had, remember, a brown soap, naphtha, a bar of naphtha soap. She took that, shoved my face down, turned the water, put some, and started washing my mouth out, and just holding my ear. Don't you ever say those words again. Don't you ever do that. Those filthy words. She said filthy words. So one thing, I sure as hell wasn't going to say those words anymore. might say something different, but I sure wasn't going to say that. So what is filthiness here? There's two parts. Let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh. That's not talking about taking a bath or a shower. That's talking about the sin nature. And secondly, cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the spirit. So there's two things here. Flesh and spirit. Now obviously the spirit is not God, the Holy Spirit. That's blasphemy. So what is the spirit? But it needs to be cleansed. So again, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit. This is the aorist active subjunctive of katharizo plus the accusative plural that reflects the pronoun heautu plus the prepositional phrase apa with the genitive singular of melusmos. You don't want melusmos. Modified by the genitive singular of pos plus the genitive singular of sarx with chi and the genitive singular of pneuma. All right, the verb katharizo. Looks like that in the Greek, K-A-T-H-A-R-I-Z, long O, katharizo. All right, first of all, katharizo means to purify or to make clean or to cleanse. Purify, make clean, to cleanse. Two, literally it is used of physical uncleanness. That's literally. But here it's used, point three, it's used figuratively. And figuratively it means to cleanse from sin. And therefore, this cleansing refers to the use of the problem-solving device of rebound, 1 John 1:9. The aorist tense is a constative aorist, a punctiliar aorist, and referring to the point when you use the problem-solving device of rebound. The active voice, the believer out of fellowship with God, performs the action of the verb. The subjunctive mood is, this is a hortatory subjunctive. Hortatory. I'll even put that up here. Hortatory subjunctive. And the hortatory subjunctive presents an exhortation. In the first person plural, it would be translated, let us cleanse ourselves. Let us cleanse ourselves. And the ourselves is the accusative plural of the reflexive pronoun heautu, that's ourselves. And then what are we to cleanse ourselves of? The adjective pos. P-A-S oftentimes means all or every, and it refers here to every category of, specifically every category, and then the preposition apa, from every category of melusmos. M-O-L-U-S-M-O-S, melusmos. From every category of melusmos. So what's melusmos? Glad you asked. Melusmos, do you remember this, where we studied this before? No, you don't, because it's a hapax legomenon. I led you in on that one. This is the hapax legomenon. This is the only time that this noun is found in the New Testament scriptures. It's not found in Greek writers before the Christian era. So, what is it? One, melusmos may be translated defilement, garbage, mud, or excrement. Now, in order to protect the dignity of the clergy, I used excrement and not some four-letter words that you would understand very well, I'm sure. But that's what melusmos is: defilement, garbage, mud, excrement. In the ancient world, sewage and garbage, when you lived upstairs, was dumped out of windows onto the street. And if you were walking under the window when the sewage and garbage was being dumped, you were covered with melusmos. And you might say something like, "Oh, melusmos." Two. Figuratively, melusmos describes mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue that are dumped on others. Figuratively, melusmos describes mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue that are dumped on others. Point three. There were many Corinthian believers who didn't like the Apostle Paul, especially after he taught 1 Corinthians and just clobbered them. He had to clobber. They were in reversionism. He didn't want to see them die the sin unto death. Some of them were. Some of those believers in Corinth died the sin unto death. And he had to clobber them. They were going through warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. And he, all through 1 Corinthians, he had to deal with this category, reversionism, that category, another category. And he clobbered them and clobbered them and clobbered them. And he did so because he loved them. I don't know if you ever would ever understand that. But when the communicator, today the pastor, clobbers you, it's because he loves you. He doesn't want to see you crash and burn. It's called virtue love. Paul is a mature believer. He has virtue love. His most important love of his life is Jesus Christ. He loves the Lord Jesus Christ with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength. And because of that, he has impersonal love for all the people in Corinth, all those believers in Corinth, all those believers in reversionism, all those believers that were crashing and burning, he loved them with impersonal love. And so he taught these things. He knew it was step on their toes. It stepped all over them. He clobbered them and clobbered them and clobbered them. And that is tough virtue love. Tough virtue love. And there are times when the faithful communicator of the Word of God has to teach with tough virtue love, knowing that it'll step on some of your toes. I'd rather step on your toes than see you crash and burn. And I grew up spiritually under two great pastor teachers. Great! And I love them both with all my heart. I love them with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. Jesus Christ was my most important love, but I love those pastors. And those pastors, they taught, there were times they taught with tough virtue love. tough. And when they did, I loved them more than ever before. It didn't change my thinking toward them at all. Whenever they had to teach with tough virtue love, I loved them more than I ever did before. I would just smile and just say, man, does he love us? He loves us. That pastor loves us. That's why he is teaching with tough virtue love, because he loves us. And so I would, whenever I see Pastor Breckel or Pastor Thiem teach, and they got into that mode, I would just smile and go, isn't this great? Isn't this great that this pastor loves us so much that he teaches exactly what we need to hear? Thank God for these men and their faithfulness to do so. Well, point three, there were many believers in Corinth that didn't like Paul. They didn't like his tough teaching and stepping all over their toes, and they didn't like it. They reacted. And so they started dumping melusmos on Paul. Melusmos on Paul. Mental attitude sins and sins of the tongue on Paul. Because he was stepping all over their toes. Many of them hated Paul for that. They got angry at Paul. So they started judging Paul and slandering Paul and maligning Paul. Four. Paul calls this melusmos. Paul calls this melusmos. Five. Therefore, Paul gives them the exhortation, hortatory subjunctive of katharizo. Rebound! You're out of line. You're totally out of line. Rebound. Get back into fellowship with God. Get back in the filling of the Spirit. Get back in your spiritual life. It's got to start with rebound. 1 John 1:9. Now there's two categories of filthiness here. The first one is the word sarx. S-A-R-K-S, sarx. Literally, it translated flesh, but it's a special title for the old sin nature. Sarx, the sin nature. And then we have the conjunction chi, and filthiness was not just in their sarx, not just in their sin nature, but then Paul adds the filthiness of their pneuma. Ooh. P-N-E-U-M-A. Pneuma. Now it's translated spirit. Sometimes it's used for God the Holy Spirit, but not here. That would be blasphemy. It's not used for the Holy Spirit here. So what is the pneuma talking about? It's talking about the filthiness of their mental attitude, what they were thinking, their mental attitude sins, their sins of the tongue toward the Apostle Paul. They were living in Satan's cosmic system. They were going through one category of discipline, warning discipline, intensive discipline, and dying discipline. They were crashing and burning. This is the mental attitude of the believer in carnal death. And what is the mental attitude of the believer in carnal death? Negative volition to what's being taught. They were negative to what Paul was teaching. They didn't like what Paul was teaching. It was stepping all over their toes. They didn't want that. The mental attitude of carnal death includes arrogance. They don't have humility. If they had humility, they would have great respect for God, His Word, and the communicator of the Word of God, Paul or Titus or Timothy. Today there are no apostles. It would be the pastor teacher. But they were arrogant. They had no humility, no respect. They were not under authority. They had no hupotasso. They did not subordinate themselves to the authority of God, His Word, and the pastor who teaches it. That's the mental attitude of carnal death. And that resulted in something that you don't ever want to happen. You have no metabolized doctrine in your heart. Now there's different kinds of believers that assemble. There are those that have, they're in fellowship with God, filled with the Spirit. They come in with positive volition. They come in with humility, and they come in with a great smile on their face. They just love to be here. Can't wait to find out what God has for them today. That's great. Then there are those who come in who are negative. They come in. I've had some sit in the back row and give me that. And then we have what I call the seed pickers. Oh, seed pickers. Here's a principle you might want to make sure. All seed pickers are losers. What's a seed picker? Well, I'll come to Upland Bible Church and I'll pick out the stuff I want to believe and not the part I don't believe. Seed pickers. There are so many believers today who are seed pickers and they're all losers. And they usually wind up being church hoppers, hopping from this church to that church to that church. And everywhere they go, they're seed pickers. I'll believe this part. I think Pastor Olson's fine on these things, but he's all wrong on these things. He's right on these things. Oh, he's all wrong on these things. What are that? Seed pickers. And if you're a seed picker in here, go home, stay home, and don't come back here. You're wasting your time and my time for you being here. Seed pickers are all losers. They pick and choose what they want to believe. I never sat under Pastor Breckel or Pastor Thieman ever at any time thought to either one of those men what they taught. I never said, I believe this, but I think Pastor Breckel's all wrong with that. I think Pastor Thieme's all wrong with it. I never thought that. I wouldn't even dare walk that path. Never. I love those men to the nth degree. And I knew they loved their congregations. I knew they loved, because they were mature believers, they loved their congregation with great virtue love, impersonal love for all. And I recognize that. There's no way I would even enter my mind to reject the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures from those men. Never entered my mind. I knew if it did enter my mind, lightning would come down and I would be ashes right there. That wasn't going to happen. So, corrected translation. We're not quite done with verse 1. We're getting there. Therefore, having these promises, 2 Corinthians 6:16-18, beloved, royal family of God, let us cleanse ourselves from every category of defilement. Melusmos. Melusmos of the flesh, the sin nature, and melusmos of the spirit, the mental attitude of carnal death, negative volition to Bible doctrine, arrogance, and therefore it's a time to rebound, get back into fellowship with God. And then we have perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. This is the present active participle of epiteleo, plus the accusative singular of hagiosune, plus the prepositional phrase, and plus the dative singular of phobos, plus the genitive singular of theos. Epiteleo. Great verb. Epiteleo. E-P-I-T-E-L-E. Long O. Epiteleo. Couple of things. One, epiteleo is a compound word made up of the preposition epi, which is motion that reaches a goal or objective, and then the verb teleo. So let me get that up here. Two parts of this. We have epi, that's the preposition, plus the verb teleo. Epi is a preposition, motion toward an objective. Toward an objective. And teleo is to complete. Teleo is to complete, to finish, to reach that objective. Now, you'll know this when I put this word. There's a noun that comes from teleo. That's teleos. T-E-L-E-I-O-S. This is a word for spiritual maturity. Teleos. That's the objective. That's the objective, to attain teleos, spiritual maturity. So we have epiteleo. Two. So literally, epiteleo means to reach a goal completely. Literally, epiteleo means to reach a goal completely. Now, what is that goal? Glad you asked. Point three. The goal is the accusative singular direct object, hagiosune. Looks like that in the Greek. H-A-G-I long O-S-U-N long E. Hagiosune. Hagiosune is the noun that comes from the verb hagiadzo. That's the noun from this verb, hagiadzo. H-A-G-I-A-Z long O. Hagiadzo. And hagiadzo is the verb to sanctify. Hagiosune means sanctification. And in our verse, it's talking about three categories of sanctification: positional sanctification, experiential sanctification, ultimate sanctification. Our verse is putting the spotlight on experiential sanctification. So hagiosune, sanctification, comes from the verb hagiadzo, to sanctify. Five, when you reach the goal of experiential sanctification completely, you have attained spiritual maturity. You have attained spiritual maturity. You have virtue love brought to completion in your heart. You have personal love for God the Father, which motivates impersonal love for all mankind and occupation with Jesus Christ. And then we have the preposition and. E-N. And sometimes it means translated in, but other times it translated by means of. By means of phabo theou. This is the dative, P-H-O-B, long O. That's the dative of phobos. Phobos, which is P-H-O-B-O-S. And this is the genitive of theos, genitive of theos, and that's God. And so we have fear of, by means of the fear of, here's the instrumentality. Here's the instrumentality. How do you accomplish it? By means of fear of God. It would be great if most of the believers in America fear God. That would be absolutely fantastic. If that were true, we would not be living on the edge of the volcano. We would not be this far away from the fifth cycle of national discipline. But most believers today do not fear God. And there's two categories of fear of God. Two categories. And category number one has to precede category number two. Category number one, fear of God, is humility. That's the foundational virtue. You have to have the foundation before you ever have the superstructure. The foundation is humility. That has to be first. If you don't have humility, you will never ever attain spiritual maturity. And you will never, ever glorify God. Oh, you won't lose your salvation. You'll be in heaven. But you'll be picking cotton on somebody else's plantation. Can't understand that, except nobody picks cotton anymore. That's category one, fear of the Lord. Yep, that has to come first. And if you have that, then you will have category two, fear of the Lord, and that's occupation with Jesus Christ. And that's where you glorify God to the maximum. So, by means of the fear of God. So, corrected translation. Ta-da! Verse 1. Therefore, having these promises of 2 Corinthians 16 to 18, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from every category of melusmos, defilement of the flesh, the sin nature, and the spirit, a mental attitude of carnal death, which includes negative volition to Bible doctrine and arrogance. And how do you cleanse yourself? By rebound, getting back into fellowship with God, the filling of the Spirit and your spiritual life. Then, reaching the goal of experiential sanctification completely. How? By means of the fear of God. It starts out with category one, fear of the Lord, humility, and results in category two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. There you go. This is a great verse. In fact, I think I'll read that again, verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, 2 Corinthians 6:16 to 18, beloved, royal family of God, this is addressed to church age saints, let us cleanse ourselves from every category of defilement, melusmos, defilement of the flesh, the sin nature, and the spirit, a mental attitude of carnal death. What is that? Negative volition to Bible doctrine and arrogance. And how do you cleanse yourself? Rebound. Reaching the goal of experiential sanctification completely. How? By means of the fear of God. Category one, fear of the Lord, humility, that has to be there first. And then that will result in category two, fear of the Lord, occupation with Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you, sir, for your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.